Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everybody's talking to men and women differently about money. Telling men to think big. Telling women to be careful about spending money and give them guilt trips about how they spend money. And I realise everybody's doing it.
Well, we've all been pushed around.
Hello and welcome to It's Complicated with Tanya Gooden, the podcast that helps you untangle your relationship with your phone. Lost and
found, 'cause we've all been pushed around.
This is a podcast about learning to live healthily and happily with technology and the digital world, and about understanding why sometimes that's so hard to do. Because in learning how to step away from our phones more, we're actually learning how to focus more on our relationships, our work and our health, leaving us happier, healthier and with hours more time in our day. I'm your host, Tanya Gooden, author and founder of digital wellbeing movement Time to Log Off. Each week, I'll be asking a new guest what they've learnt about themselves from the relationship they have with the tiny tyrant in their pocket, their smartphone. Welcome back to It's Complicated, and this week we're going to be talking about money and technology. And I have on the podcast this week the woman who set up a bank, Anne Bowden, who is the founder and CEO of Starling Bank. Starling is a digital-only bank in the UK, and Starling's actually won Best British Bank at the British Bank Awards for the past 3 years. And it's also just topped the recommended current account league table in Which magazine for the second year in a row. So hugely successful, but it is a bank that Anne decided to set up herself, I think 6 or 7 years ago. So we talk in the episode today about her story, about why she suddenly decided that banking was broken and why marrying banking and technology, new technology, was something she felt passionately about in order to make the management of money an easier and even a more enjoyable experience for customers. So we talk about her journey, her highs and her lows. She's actually just written a book about the whole experience, which is really a roller coaster of an experience, from getting from that moment when she thought, I think what the country needs is a new bank, to where she is now. So we talk about that. We also talk about one of the campaigns that Starling have always been involved with, Make Money Equal, which looks at not just the gender pay gap, but the different ways in which men and women are spoken to and marketed to about money. And we talk a bit about Anne's plans for the future for Starling, new features, new innovation, and how she is using tech to make money a lot less complicated. She is a really inspiring woman to talk to, I have to say. There aren't many people that get up one day and decide, I'm going to set up an entirely new bank and then take on the might of the established banking world and technology world and pull that off. So if you want a really inspiring and entertaining listen, and you want to hear all about the moment a billionaire flew Anne out to the Bahamas to sit on his yacht while he discussed whether he was going to invest in her bank, this is the episode for you. I really hope you enjoy it. So, Anne, it's so lovely to have you on the podcast.
And lovely to see you again. It's been a long time.
It has been a long time. So I think, you know, It's Complicated is about our complicated relationship with tech. And it has always struck me that one of the huge positives of technology, one of the real benefits, is that it is has the potential to enable us to be able to manage our money better. And there aren't many people that I could get on this podcast who have actually set up their own bank as a result of realising that the marriage of money and technology would be such a positive thing. You've written a book about it, Banking on It, How I Disrupted an Industry. It is a real blockbuster. It's been described, I've been reading some of the reviews, as a banking blockbuster. I wanted to start by asking you, who is going to play you in the film, Anne?
Well, everybody suggests Olivia Colman.
Yes, that's who I thought of. That's so funny. That's exactly who I thought of. Yeah,
we'll have to see if she's available.
Well, she's just finished The Crown, hasn't she? She's not in the next series, so could be perfect. So you said yourself in the book, there aren't that many women at the top in finance, and there's hardly any women in tech either. I've done a couple of podcast episodes on that. So how did a 50-something woman come to set up a bank in a world where, you know, most of these tech startups are run by bearded, goatee bearded guys in Hoxton or Shoreditch? What made you think, do you know what, I'm going to set up a bank?
Well, I'm a technologist, a computer scientist by background, and I'd spent 30 odd years in the industry, in technology and banking, working in some of the big banks around the world. And in 2013, I came to the conclusion that wouldn't it be wonderful if all the new technology that's going on in the world could be used in banking? But the banks were too focused on looking backwards rather than forward. They were too involved in their day-to-day problems to see how technology could help people with their money. So I started dreaming about what if somebody started a new bank? And at the same time, I was thinking about what am I going to do in a few years' time? You know, how am I going to go into my next role? And I never thought it would be me that be started in the bank. But one day I came to the conclusion that I was going to do it.
Because no one else was doing it.
Yes. And I was afraid of, you know, making a fool of myself, you know, failing. But then I concluded that it was such an audacious plan, it was such a big plan that had never been done before, that if I failed, it wouldn't be a real failure at all. And I took the decision to have a go.
So was there one moment, was there kind of an aha moment where you just thought, that's it, I've really got to do this? Or was it a kind of cumulative of just thinking, it's not working, banking isn't working?
I think I'd concluded that somebody had to start a new bank. And I'd concluded that probably in a few years' time, I'd like to do something entrepreneurial. And then one morning I got up and said, well, I think that's going to be me. So the actual decision was quite sudden, but the two thoughts had been going around separately in my head.
So it is the story of how you pulled it off is, I mean, it is quite incredible, actually. It's got so many kind of ups and downs. It was a real roller coaster experience, wasn't it, to get from that moment to where you are now with this hugely successful mobile-only bank. What was the rock bottom moment, though, in that journey between that moment when you thought, OK, I can do this, and where you are now? Where did you start to think, or was there a moment where you thought, actually, I'm not sure this is going to work?
I always thought it would work. There were times where I thought it would work, but I wouldn't be around to see it. I worked for, you know, a whole year putting the proposition together, almost raising funding, and then almost overnight losing it all. And I had to start from scratch. I had to start again. And in those days, things were pretty bleak. You know, did I have the energy? Did I have the resourcefulness? Did I have the resilience to start again? Yeah. And that was a low point, but there's so many high points and so many exciting things that have happened to me in the last 6 years. It's been a real roller coaster.
So how did you lose all your funding and have to start again, though? What was that? What happened? That wasn't to do with the financial crisis, was it? Because we're talking after that point.
Yes, I basically had a team member who decided to quit. And when he decided to quit, it meant my funding went. And he raised funding and took the team with him. And that meant that I had a rival in the market. And all of a sudden, I had no team. A lot of people that were depending on me to pull this off, and I had to start again.
And did you ever doubt your ability to do that? Did you ever have, you know, that moment of thinking this is just too much? Because it's a huge blow, what happened to you, isn't it?
It was a huge blow, and it's a very public blow. You know, it's not very nice sort of... I remember actually driving home from the city and driving up the M40 and pulling off, actually, in order to buy some food on the way home. And I looked at my phone and the story was all over the Financial Times.
Gosh.
And that was hugely damning. It was quite difficult to recover from. It was very, very visible and I couldn't defend myself. And that was the low point. But I don't think I lost confidence in myself. I realised that the entrepreneurial world is extremely tough.
Mm.
And I'd have to fight back. But that's the low point. There are many, many sort of much more exciting things that happened in the story.
So let's talk about some of the high points then. What was the kind of, you know, I mean, there have been so many high points, I know. I was just looking today, actually, at all the awards you've won that are coming thick and fast for Starling in the last couple of years. But if you had to pick out a couple of points, what was...
Yeah,
tell me a couple
I think,
of moments where you thought, actually, you know, I've pulled this off. I've done this.
Well, I think the first, you know, the I had to start again.
Yeah.
And it took me another year to raise money. And I was very, well, a billionaire in the Bahamas that was very,
oh, yes,
very interested in...
Such a good story, isn't it?
was very interested in tech and new banking. Read about what was going on in Europe. And tried to get in contact with me to fund me. And I didn't, you know, I didn't return his calls. I'd never heard of him.
So you didn't return his calls? I missed that bit.
Well, yeah,
because
yeah.
You thought it was a joke, did you? Or you didn't
Well,
take it
you know,
seriously.
I was very, very busy talking to people about fundraising. I didn't notice that somebody was trying to call me, talk to me about fundraising. And so eventually I flew to the Bahamas, met a very, very intelligent, very diligent Austrian billionaire who grilled me about the business for 4 days.
On his yacht, I read.
On his yacht.
Yes, amazing.
Only the yacht in the evenings. We were in his office during the day. But on the fourth day, he offered me $48 million for 66% of my company.
Mm.
And we clicked champagne glasses and all of a sudden, I had an investor.
Wow. And you were doing all this on your own. I mean, when you flew to the Bahamas, it was just you and him.
Yes.
Talking about,
and
yeah.
his army of and his entourage. But I didn't have an entourage.
No. But you said quite early on in the book that, you know, your face didn't fit the kind of typical startup, tech startup. Did you didn't, presumably that wasn't an issue with the billionaire investor in the Bahamas, but, you know, were there other moments where you thought, actually, the reason I'm not being, you know, invested in, or the reason I'm not being taken seriously, is because I don't look like these goatee bearded hipsters?
I think that when it gets down to detail, really understanding the business, understanding how business models work and how you become a profitable business whilst giving customers what they really want, it takes a lot of knowledge and a lot of study and a lot of diligence.
Yeah.
And I think women are very, very good at that.
Mm.
So when you remove it from being a social thing of turning up at a VC's office and playing ping pong with them to actually sitting down with some real hard numbers and some technology plans and something very grounded, that's when women really, really perform.
Yeah.
So once you go from something which is a social interaction where people like being with people that are just like themselves, to be something that's well grounded, that's detailed,
yeah,
that's analytical.
Yeah.
That's when women are really, really good. And that's what happened. somebody allowed me to explain the plan and went into an incredible amount of detail and very diligent analysis and made the decision to back me. And here we are, you know, sort of 6 years later, we've got 1.8 million customers. We've got 4 billion of deposits, 1.5 billion of lending, and we have 250,000 business customers. Gosh. The business is thriving, and we are the first of the new banks to become monthly profitable. So it's a story of the ups and downs, and then getting a business that is viable and thriving, that has so many customers that are believing us. Mm. And it's quite a story. There's lots and lots of ups and downs. And people have described it as being a memoir, a business book, because the book is all about content. It's all about what I did and some of the lessons I learned about starting a business and some of the tips I'm passing on to other entrepreneurs. But what I like most of all is somebody's actually called it a thriller, which I'm quite flattered by.
I was going to use exactly that word, that it is. It is a thriller because, I mean, you know, from the kind of, you know, the villain of the piece, your partner who, you know, left you and took half the staff, to the billionaire in the Bahamas, you know, it's a bit, reads a bit like a heist, you know, one of those sort of Michael Caine type stories.
And now a message from our sponsor, the Time to Log Off Academy. As Karen Carpenter almost said, logging off is hard to do, particularly during a pandemic. Before we know it, our screens become our masters rather than our servants, and we find ourselves mindlessly scrolling through our phones, obsessively chasing likes on social media, or endlessly checking our work email on the weekends. If any of this sounds familiar, some digital healing may be in order. The experts at the Time to Log Off Academy can help you see which areas of your life are suffering due to screen dependency. They'll guide you through workable solutions so you can build a healthier, happier relationship with your screens and spend more time with pets, people, and Mother Nature. The Academy's convenient online courses are available now, and fans of It's Complicated can save with a strictly limited pandemic offer. To get 25% off your digital well-being course, visit academy.itstimetologoff.com today and use the code NOW25 while this offer lasts.
I should out myself completely here and say I am one of your 1.9 million customers and also a business customer.
Thank you.
Because Anne and I know this, but the listeners won't know this. I actually did some work for you, Anne, in the, you know, early days, about 4 years ago when I was still running my digital business. And you gave me a beta account. I think everybody who was working got a beta. And
yes.
I just got so sucked into how brilliantly the app worked. And I think, like all your customers, I've become a bit evangelical about Starling. And actually, the impetus to get you on the podcast was because I was having a chat with a student who said, oh, of course, because I bank with Starling, one of the great things is I can see when my maintenance low is about to hit my account. I can see in the app, you know, that it's coming in the next day. And I was thinking, there are so many incredible features.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
How are you using, for people who don't know Starling at all, how are you using tech to really change the way we think about and manage our money?
Well, the first thing is that we decided to build our tech from scratch. And the majority of banks are based on technology that's been around 25 years or more. So we use the tech that's the very, very latest tech that comes out of Silicon Valley, and we harden it for a banking environment so it's super secure. And then we constantly improve it and iterate it. So we do lots of changes in response to customers telling us what works and what doesn't work.
Yeah. And you're always asking customers, aren't you? I always get things saying, what feature do you want, or, what would you like to change? Yeah.
So sometimes we change things 10 times a day, where we make it a little bit better. We listen to what people are saying. We understand what they finding difficult or what they'd like more of. And we keep iterating. And above all of that, we have a current account, which is totally free. We don't charge any hidden fees. And you can also have lots and lots of interesting add-on features. We have current accounts for individuals, joint accounts, Euro accounts, US dollar accounts, business accounts for sole traders. And at the moment, we're the fastest growing business bank in Europe.
Wow. What do you think is the most innovative feature?
Something I'm very, very proud of is when the lockdown came, really listened to what our customers wanted. And many people were saying that people self-isolated at home wanted to be able to have a way of sending people shopping for them with a card, but in a safe way. And we launched the connected card. And it was such a success that NHS volunteers recommended it as a product to give to people that are helping you shop. And that I'm proud of, because it was something that the nation needed. Yeah. And we launched it in 10 days. And it solved a real problem for people. It is our part in addressing some of the horrible things that have been going on the last 2 months.
I tell you what my favourite feature is, Anne. Whenever anyone says to me, why should I switch to Starling? I say, photographing cheques to pay them in.
I know, isn't that wonderful?
I just think that's the best feature. And when I tell people, they say, well, how does that work?
It's absolutely fantastic. And we use machine learning and artificial intelligence to help us interpret the cheque. So you don't have to be a fantastic photographer to make it all work. So we're very, very proud of coming up with things that are solving real issues.
Yeah, and that was a really useful feature in lockdown, actually. Not having to, get out and post a letter or go to a branch. So one of the campaigns I've always really loved about Starling is your Make Money Equal campaign, which highlights the fact that financial inequality isn't just about the gender pay gap. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that campaign and why it's important to you. I just want to say at this point, are you the only CEO of a bank that's a woman? I feel like you are.
No, we've got a couple more now. We've got Debbie at TSB, and we've got Alison at RBS. I think I'm the first person to found a bank.
Is that why it was important to you, the campaign, kind of looking at inequalities?
Yes, and it actually started, I was in the hairdressers, to be honest, and there was a huge pile of magazines for men and women. And I'm always looking for what the media says, what magazines say about money. So I quickly looked through a couple of copies just to see what they were saying about money management. And then I did the same for the men's magazines. And then I realised everything in the women's magazine was all about thrift and saving and don't spend that money on the latte and save up for the pair of shoes. And everything in the men's magazines was all about investing in cryptocurrencies for and power dressing. And I thought there's something going on here. And we commissioned a research team to look at 300 magazines and analyse what they were saying to men and women. And they were telling men to think big, think about investing in themselves as investing in their future and not to be guilty of it. Invest in that power suit, invest in that suit and you will, you know, you'll get that job. And they were telling women to be careful about spending money and to think small and to think of money as something and give them guilt trips about how they spend money.
Yeah.
And I realise everybody's doing it. Everybody's talking to men and women differently about money. And it's not just about the gender pay gap. Make money equal. Hashtag make money equal. It's about giving women the confidence and to talk about money equally and to demand, you know, better from the financial services industry, and above all, trying to get the media to treat men and women equally in articles about money. So it's our small bit to solving this huge inequality in the world between men and women.
I noticed actually in the very latest piece of research that you've been involved with, looking at the impact of COVID, there was a specifically kind of gendered finding, which was, you were looking at the issue around particularly freelancers and the self-employed and how they've really struggled. And you found that women were more likely than men to have encountered problems being paid late. 67% of women versus 52% of men said they'd been paid late. I was really shocked by that. Why do you think that is? Why do you think women are getting paid later?
I think it's a situation where somehow paying women, both in terms of salary and in terms of invoices due, seems to be an optional thing. And when it comes to men, it's something they have the right to. Mm-hmm. And I think this is quite deeply ingrained. And we've got to try and, you know, and I'm calling all leaders to try and call this out. It's in lots and lots of different ways. We need to dig into this.
I wonder if it's still a kind of hangover from that feeling that women don't need to be paid enough or on time because they're not the main breadwinner.
it's very, very important that we start calling these things out.
Yeah. So what have you got up your sleeve for Starling for the future, Anne?
Well, we're at the start of a journey. We've done so much to get to where we are today. We're profitable now, so we now need to, you know, work on those features, get more and more features out, make it easier for people to run their businesses. So we have products already for small businesses where they can link into HMRC and do their VAT returns. But it's lots of products to help customers run their businesses better, as well as a series of products for consumers so that they run their family life better with, so they can share financial goals and financial targets. So it's all about making those facilities richer. I'm so, so thrilled every time I get an email from somebody or a contact from somebody saying that we've made their financial life a bit easier. But we have people from all walks of life using Starling. And I'm really, really excited that we're now taking huge market share from the big banks. In the last quarter, more people switched to Starling than to any other bank in the UK. More people switch to Starling than people switch to Barclays or Lloyds or HSBC.
If you saw what was going on Twitter around the time when the pandemic hit and how everyone was complaining about other banks, I mean, you probably did see it, Anne, because you're on Twitter. But, you know, I was really struck by that as a Starling customer. Sorry, I should just make it really clear to all podcast listeners. There is no money is changing hands as a result of this episode. I'm just genuinely a fan. But, you know, everyone, all the Starling customers were saying how fantastically Starling behaved, you know, when they were all really feeling the squeeze and when they were, you know, processing the business bounce back loans, actually. I noticed a lot of that. And then real problems with the other banks. So yes, I'm not surprised you had so many people switching.
So we had a situation where lots of small businesses are really suffering, and we managed to launch bounce back loans, and we've made over 1.1 billions worth of bounce back loans up to £50,000 to small businesses.
Yeah.
And so we're really doing our bit, and that's our money. You know, that's not government money. That's our money that we're lending to small business. It has a government guarantee, but it's our money we're lending to small businesses to get them through this very difficult period.
Mm.
And we're open for business. You know, we are still opening accounts. We'll, you know, yesterday we opened 900 new business accounts.
Gosh, 900 in a day.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So we have, you know, we're open for business, and we really, really, we're feeling for those businesses out there at the moment. But that's our role in life. We are there in the good times and the bad times, and very, very excited for the future.
So how has the pandemic, how has 2020 changed Starling and changed your plans? And how do you think it will change banking? It's quite interesting, isn't it, to see the kind of negative press a lot of the banks have had around this time. Do you see the pandemic will have a bit of a silver lining for Starling?
I think that the drive towards digital, move towards digital, has accelerated perhaps even 20 years. Things that were happening slowly, that move to digital, has all of a sudden been given a big kick into the future. And people are doing things in a digital way. People don't have to want to go into a branch to do things. We are totally digital. You can do it on your phone or on your laptop. And we don't require you to visit anyone. So it's very efficient. It works remotely where you are. And we are very, very equipped to work in this very decentralized way. So we were built for this. And because of the crisis, the big banks are really suffering, and we have been open. And it has really, really benefited our business because people have tried us,
yeah,
and love us, and are telling their friends.
Yeah. So, and do you still enjoy it?
I am terribly privileged. You know, I've been able to deliver my dream. I worked for other people's banks for 30-odd years, doing things that were okay, but not wonderful. And I had the opportunity to start again from scratch and bring the best technology, the best vision. And the wonderful thing about Starling is we attract great people. People join us because they like the vision, the mission, and we're doing the right thing. And I'm ever so fortunate to be in this position. Not many people get the chance I got, and I'm enjoying every minute of it.
Oh, well, it's a lot of hard work as well, isn't it? it's not just a party. And you really feel that when you read the book. I think, you know, 99% of people would have given up, Anne. So it's your determination, which is obvious to anyone who meets you, that's got Starling to where it is. I end the podcast with three questions, the same three questions for all guests. So I just want to ask you, what's the one thing you'd like to say to everyone listening about their tech habits?
Enjoy it. I love technology. I find technology makes me more efficient. I enjoy it. Well, I was trying out Twitter Fleet last night, or Fleets last night.
Oh gosh, I
love all these things. I'm a real addict, but you have to enjoy it.
Yeah.
You should do things you enjoy, and I enjoy it.
And have you got a tip? Now, I'm asking this very nervously, Anne, because I'm asking you, have you got a tip about getting a good balance around digital and offline? And you have famously said you have zero work-life balance. You're all yeah. about work. But you did say, I think in the book, that there was one holiday where you deliberately chose to go on a cruise to stop yourself from checking out bank branches, other banks' branches in South Africa. So I thought, oh, okay, that's a bit of a inkling that maybe sometimes you think, actually, I need to switch off. So is that anything you do?
Well, you know, the problem with that cruise was at the end of the journey, I'd used so much Wi-Fi. I had to go to the person and say, I think there's something wrong with the system. It can't have cost that much. I think that the important thing is that you should only do something you love.
Yeah.
If you're not enjoying it and you're not loving it, find yourself another job. Life's too short.
Yeah.
I think it's not work-life balance. It's life balance. You've got to find the right thing for you. And don't feel, if it's going to be difficult and it's that painful, you need to find something different.
Yeah, there's that famous quote, and I'm going to forget who said it, about, you know, if it feels like work, you know, don't do it. It shouldn't feel like work, should it? You should do something
Correct.
You love. And what do you think you've learned about yourself from your relationship with technology over the years? Because it's been a real journey, hasn't it?
I think it's important for everybody to take a fresh look. You know, I remember, you know, going to the States in sort of 2001, 2002, and spending most of my time trying to get my laptop working through a modem getting all the security devices to work.
Yeah.
And most of the actual business trip was spent trying to get the devices to work. And every 6 months, technology gets easier and easier and easier. And for those people who have decided that technology is not for them, Have another go. Have another look. Because
It's
6
changed.
Months later, it's easier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything, we get customers of all sorts. And customers in their 90s were using a banking app for the first time and loving it because it gives them control. Think of what's happened in this crisis where people of all ages have started using FaceTime and started using video conferencing.
Yeah.
Just re-engage. Yeah, forget about the last time it didn't work for you and try again, because the world could have changed.
And I'm really struck that you said a few minutes earlier that you're, you know, talking about the speed of change, that you're sometimes making 10 changes a day
Yes.
to the app. I mean, you know, that is, even from the beginning of the day to the end, your experience could be completely different, couldn't it? Thanks so much, Anne. It's been absolutely brilliant. I am determined that your book will be made into a film, and I'm really, really looking forward to seeing Olivia Colman. It's fascinating that everybody said the same name. When I was thinking about it, I thought I could just see her doing this. So I'm sure Hollywood is going to be beating a path to your door very shortly. But I hope the book goes really well. Banking on it, How I Disrupted an Industry by Anne Bowden, was only out 2 weeks ago, wasn't it?
That's correct, yes, yes. And doing really, really well.
Yeah,
already a bestseller.
Yeah. So thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure chatting to you.
Thank you very much for inviting me. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of It's Complicated. If you haven't already, please do subscribe, rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from. It helps other people find us, and it means you get a helpful little notification when a new episode becomes available. For more about getting a healthy balance with tech, you can follow me, Tanya Goodin, or Time to Log Off on Instagram and Twitter. And both my books, Off and Stop Staring at Screens, are available on Amazon and at all good bookshops. Finally, for more information about this and other episodes in the podcast series, visit itstimetologoff.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.